Today is the third Sunday after Easter. Tomorrow begins the month of May, the month of Our Lady. Please put all of your investments in her program. If you had it in any other investment program, try to change or to increase those to Our Lady. And therefore, I encourage you to storm the chapel tomorrow. It's not only the feast to begin Our Lady's month, but also St. Joseph. It's a time for us to ask St. Joseph for everything we need, not only financially, but a church. And I would just try to provoke in your minds that I have submitted to the diocese four options to have a Sunday Mass in a local church for the extent of the summer. That means it will begin on the first Sunday of June through the duration of August, and hopefully we never come back to the gym, but I can't promise that. Yet I've petitioned for the summer. Therefore, I encourage you to, during the month of May, to storm Our Lady and St. Joseph for those special petitions, and I will keep you updated where and when those will take place. Also, just keep in mind the Mass schedule. It's at times fluctuating, so what is said in the bulletin is true. We had some odd times recently, but just please see those so that you're not inconvenienced. And also the location, as the first Communions and Mother's Day Mass at 12:30 is at a different location, which did spook some of you before. There is a May crowning this coming Sunday, May 7th, at the 10 o'clock Mass. I just advise that you parents can have your children bring some flowers. If the children would like to process with a flower, we will have them available for that Mass to begin the 10 o'clock Mass. Something for the children, something beautiful, and therefore you might want to come to that Mass, but feel free to be forewarned. And all of May, we will have in the chapel an opportunity to bring flowers while vases as of tomorrow morning that can be available for you to give great honor to the Blessed Virgin. If anyone's interested in singing in the choir or wants to do penance and do something for the church, there is a note in the bulletin. We are looking for some more members of the choir. The second banns of marriage are announced for Lydia Garno, formerly a student here in Syracuse, and Bernard Maradona of St. Mary's, Kansas, who plan to marry this June 10th at the Immaculata Church in St. Mary's. Anyone know of any impediment is bound in conscience to advise me as soon as possible. And I would like to thank all of you for your great contributions always, but especially on Easter. You'll see it in the bulletin. And then as well for Good Shepherd Sunday last week, which amounted almost to the first collection totals to support vocations. And just a reminder that today, the second collection is for the support of our parish vocations. So please consider that we have three seminarians and actually some house fathers in the current seminary formation. And lastly, I just ask your prayers for the Immaculata Consecration. It is in St. Mary's, Kansas, our largest establishment in the whole world. It's quite impressive. And they will have a consecration of their new church. It took them 40 years to get this, but it will fit 1,500 people. And they expect, I was told, 7,000 to 10,000. Of course, they can't all fit in the church, but a momentous day. And if you would like to watch that live streaming, just keep in mind the internet. But we will certainly pray for that great occasion and note that that momentous building will be remembered throughout the world. And I hope that we contribute with our prayers. For today's Mass, the epistle is taken from St. Peter's Epistle, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to refrain yourselves from carnal desires which war against the soul, having your conversation good among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by the good works which they shall behold in you, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be you subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether it be to the king as excelling or to the governors as sent by him for punishment of evildoers and for the praise of the good. For so is the will of God, that by doing well you may put to silence the ignorance and foolishness of men, as free and not as making liberty a cloak for malice, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thanksworthy before God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel is taken from St. John chapter 16. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and now you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then some of the disciples said one to another, "What is this that he said to us, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father'?" They said, therefore, "What is that that he says, 'A little while'? We know not what he speaks." And Jesus knew that they had a mind to ask him, and he said to them, "Of this do you inquire among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again, a little while, and you shall see me'? Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be made sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she has been in labor, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But when she hath brought forth the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man hath been born into the world. So also you now indeed have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, but your joy no man shall take from you." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. A little while, and you shall see me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are now completed a quarter of this year, 2023. Let us put it in perspective. We go through days, we go through our life without reflection, without realizing what has taken place. This new year, which we forgot at the beginning of January, now is a quarter gone, never to return. How have we used it? I congratulate you for many things just in this one quarter year. Much has taken place. Many good things have been done. And it's something to reflect upon, to gain energy from. Just recently, we had, as of yesterday, an open house for the school. We just had last night in these walls, in this room, a great entertainment from trivia, a second annual event, something that brought forth life and brought forth much knowledge. From the open house itself, we had people crying in this gymnasium. There was representation from the class of 55, the last graduating class from the high school of this building. Only 23 graduates, some of whom were represented and came back and saw what they considered the glory of this building. We had janitors walking into supply closets and breathing deeply and saying, "It smells the same," and rejoicing. But we also had last night a very interesting takeaway, something real, something to reflect upon. And although it was an event of great desire and much joy was there, one person laughingly said after the trophy was granted to the winning team, "Father, you must have to put in your sermon this," and it made it. That our parishioners scored better regarding the heroes of fantasy than on the gifts of the Holy Ghost. It was true. Some teams got 5 out of 5 on the former category, and not one team got 5 out of 5 on the ladder. This is not, again, something over which we want to be disappointed, but to realize it did take place. It could have been the intensity, the emotion, the mind block. It could have been God's humility that he wanted us to embrace. But the fact is, the score did read that truth. And what can we take from that? There is a letter given to us by our general superior, Father Pagliarani, that came out 2 days ago, which you should read and will be commented upon through sermons in the next few weeks. It is something of reflection. It is from the leader of a small group of Catholics who are meant to be the light within the world. As this candle is a small light, very insignificant in the world itself, that's the Society of St. Pius X. One group which has to shine bright and constantly. But it requires a certain purity, and that's the letter that the purity of heart breathes forth, protects the purity of faith. We just saw last night that our faith is not the forefront of our mind at times. Why? Because the world floods us with everything but God. We live in this world. We have now indirectly and unknowingly been tested in this. And now is the time to reflect on how pure is our faith, how pure is our heart, because during this time of the resurrection, we want to have a great faith, but that faith will be destroyed, is in danger, according to Father Pagliarani, if we don't have a purity of heart. This purity of heart means we don't allow the world to come into our soul. And that was another takeaway last night. Some of us did terrible because we do not know some trivial things. You could take it for whatever way you wish. But what I took from it is I'm hopefully reflecting upon the faith more. That's my only excuse. But yet, is that true? Is that true within our homes, within our lives, that the world is not penetrating us? If it is penetrating our soul, then our faith is in danger. That is quite dismal when you talk about the church looking at us as the stronghold. It might seem difficult when you think that we are the only ones in our immediate families that keep the faith, but that is not the message of today. We see in today's epistle from Peter too, who again, St. Peter knew failing. St. Peter knew not winning a trophy. St. Peter knew and now knows, and yet is still glorified, that his faults are remembered by some. But he gives to us this message that we want to be to the world, to be to strangers, a great guide and example. He even gives to us this last word that hopefully many of you know, and it could be on the next trivia game for us, the word froward. It just means those who are angry, those who are obstinate, those who are difficult to bear. And it says here, the last phrase, that we want to be subject to our masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. We at times think that we can be difficult because others are difficult. The church, the world, society, they're making our lives difficult. And therefore, we think we can just let loose and have our own faults. It's not the case. We want to be subject to God through these authorities. It's difficult. It's penitential. But it does keep us on the straight and narrow. And today, although we are trying to follow good men, one of whom is Father Pagliarani, who is given this duty to keep our faith pure and undefiled, let us try to reflect these days of Easter. Only 2 more Sundays after Easter before we go into the Ascension, before we lose this candle, before symbolically we lose Christ's presence, what would you do if you knew you had 2 weeks left with Christ? 2 weeks left with this candle. You would take your time with him. You've been told and encouraged, rather, tomorrow, during the month of May, to storm the chapel. Will you? Will you? Will you look at the schedule and see, is there an evening mass because I work early? There is an evening mass tomorrow. Are you going to make that effort? You made the effort to go to trivia and go to the open house and to work hard for these events. Are you going to work hard to keep your soul pure and undefiled? Although Easter time is still with us, the difficulty of Lent and the great ceremony of Easter is gone. Are we going to go back to that purity of intention for confession, to receive communions as best as we can? That's what we want to adopt once again before it leaves our thoughts. This month of May ought to be, during the second quarter, a great push of enthusiasm. Our Lady's looking for our fidelity. She was the one faithful soul at the crucifixion. Her one great virtue, although you could talk about many, was fidelity. Let us be faithful to her great life. How can we do that? We can merely reflect upon the saint of today. You don't have to go far to find great things. Today, St. Catherine of Siena is someone from whom we can gather strength. At the age of 7, she made a vow of virginity. At the age of 15, she entered the Third Order Dominicans. 7-year-olds, don't make this vow of virginity without approval of your spiritual director, your confessor. How many of us could ever think a 7-year-old had a normal confessor or spiritual director? But this is not something you play with, this vow of virginity. And yet, in the 14th century, there was a young girl, and she did just that. And at the age of 15, for you high school students, she became a Third Order Dominican. How many adults shake in their boots to make this one commitment to be a greater faithful Catholic? And yet she did at 15. And because of those great steps that she made before she died at the age of 33, she helped in that crisis in the church during the Avignon Papacy to give to Rome back the Pope, to correct cardinals who were wayward, to write letters of strength of faith to all church hierarchy, and to defend for God's sake the purity of faith. She was able to do so because she had a purity of heart. At 7 and at 15, she renewed this purity of heart. She was persecuted because she was not going to marry. All of these things should ring true to circumstances that we live. That 14th century saint should be living today. That 14th century saint was not one of weakness. She was not collapsing under the pressures of the church. She was this candle that burned brightly, and that today we reflect upon, but don't know enough her tools, her reasons why she did so well. It's because of the contents and material of this letter, this one letter that you should all go back to, this letter that will be fleshed out for you, is for us an occasion to become other Catherines of Siena. The first communicants, they should be urged on to make great confessions this weekend, great communions on Mother's Day. We want to follow those examples. We want to be like them. Don't worry, we can. Also, one last interest that came from the open house yesterday is that These people of the past came and said that within Warners, a small hamlet so insignificant, had three gas stations. This seems trivial, but hopefully it does come up some point because I could get the answer. Three gas stations in Warners. It was a stronghold. Do you make the connections? In the 14th century, there was a great Catherine of Siena. We need a Catherine of Siena today. Warners was a stronghold of this area. It can be, and it will be, a stronghold of tomorrow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.